Radio Prague News.
The Czech ambassador to Oman has said that Czech humanitarian aid has helped Syrian refugees. Renovation of the Czech embassy building in Berlin could cost as much as half a billion crowns. And the teachers' unions have threatened to strike alert. Czech humanitarian aid has played a key role in helping Syrian refugees in Jordan, lessening the motivation for them to continue on to Europe, the Czech ambassador to Jordan, Petr Hlagík, has said. In an interview for the Czech news agency, he added that Czech aid had also led to better conditions for Czech firms exporting to Jordan. In 2016, Czech exports to the country rose by 62% year on year. In total, Czech humanitarian aid to Jordan last year amounted to 75 million crowns, 40 million of which went to the second largest refugee camp in Jordan, Azraq. The funds went toward improving living quarters and capacity at the camp. The planned renovation of the Czech embassy building at Wilhelmstrasse 44 in Berlin, Germany, is expected to cost around half a billion crowns. That's the equivalent of around 19 million euros, the Czech news agency reports. The planned renovation, discussed for several years, would be completed by 2023. The government is due to take a decision on the project in September. The building, which housed some 500 employees during the Cold War, dates back to the 1970s. It was designed by the architects Viera and Vladimir Machonin and is an example of brutalist architecture. The Machonins also designed the famous Kotva and DBK department stores in the Czech capital. The teachers' unions have said they will call a strike alert if the coalition government council does not agree to meet their demands for higher pay on Monday. The unions are seeking a pay rise of 15% for educators and 10% for non-teaching staff. The unions made the announcement during a demonstration in Prague on Friday, ahead of the new school year. The Czech Rectors' Conference is considering an extraordinary meeting on September the 6th to consider possible steps, such as delaying the start of the semester at universities, if higher wages are not introduced. Turning to other news now, the Czech brewery Bogovický Budvar is preparing a special batch of its beer for Pope Francis, which the head of the Roman Catholic Church will receive as a gift during a visit by a Czech delegation during the period of Advent this year. The delegation is scheduled to meet with the pontiff on December the 13th. The special brew, which will fill 122 bottles, will be blessed in September and gifted to the Pope by Czech Bishop Vlastimil Krocil during that December audience. The number of road fatalities over the course of the summer holidays dropped to its lowest since 1990, according to preliminary statistics released by the police this week. 102 people died in traffic accidents on Czech roads over the course of June and July, which is 18 fewer than in the same period last year. The overall number of road fatalities since the beginning of 2017 is 331, a drop by 12 compared to the same period in 2016. I'm Jan Wellinger. You'll find more news at radio.cz.
Hello, this is Radio Prague with me, Ian Willoughby. Today, Czech scientists may have found a breakthrough in the battle against obesity and diabetes. And the Czech ambassador to Paris discusses Czech-French relations, the future of the Visegrad 4, and much more. All that's coming up in today's program. Chemists from the Czech Academy of Sciences have discovered a substance that could contribute to the treatment of obesity and diabetes. The effect of the drug, which is now in development, has already been successfully tested on mice. And if everything goes well, it could be on the market in about 8 years' time. Ruth Frankova asked Martin Fusek, project director of the Academy's Center for Development of Original Drugs, to tell her more about the discovery.
The substance is actually a neuropeptide, which is normally or physiologically released in brain, and which acts in the brain, and it's part of the very complex control system of the food intake in humans and also in animals. And this peptide is known for decades, but because of its function, which is inside the brain, it was very difficult to somehow deliver it into the brain for the use of, let's say, the intervention with food intake. So the basic discovery, which is a work of Dr. Maletinska, was to modify the peptide chemically in such a way that it actually can be applied by injection outside the brain, let's say, similar like insulin, and it finds its way into the brain and it can function there.
How long have you actually been working on the research?
The research took more than 7 years, since 2010. On the other hand, Dr. Maletinska, who is the group leader, is dealing with the control of food intake for more than 20 years. So the research is really a long time.
And as far as I know, you have already successfully tested the effects of the substance on mice.
Yes, the experiments on mice and actually on rats have been done over the last 3 years. And it was using many different models of obesity as well as diabetes type 2. And in all these tested models, it actually worked in a way which we would like to see it. So the animals were losing weight if they were obese. And also those which had high glucose levels, meaning type 2 diabetes syndrome, they had much better performance, meaning that the glucose level went down after applying this. So we know it works in the animal models, that we can certify. How it will be in future, that's difficult to predict.
How long do you actually expect it can take before the drug is available on the market?
I would say that if everything goes well, and the chance is really, my estimation is 1 to 10. So if everything goes well and if it is possible to transfer it from the animal model into a human testing, I mean in clinical phases, then the best scenario would be 8 to 10 years from now to get it into the real use. But as I say, it's still a long way to go with many, let's say, crossroads. But yeah, that's how the drug development is going usually.
And that was Martin Fusek from the Center for the Development of Original Drugs at the Czech Academy of Sciences. And he was speaking there to my colleague Ruth Frankova. Now, Daniela Lazarva discusses various aspects of Czech foreign policy with Petr Drulák. He is the Czech Republic's ambassador to Paris.
Czech ambassadors from around the world congregated in Prague this week for the annual round of consultations. Among the foreign policy issues on their agenda were security, economic diplomacy, EU-related matters and regional cooperation. During a small break in their busy agenda, I met with the Czech ambassador to France, Petr Drulák, to talk about Czech-French relations, the country's position in the European Union and the role of the Visegrad Alliance. I began by asking for his take on Prime Minister Sobotka's recent proposal for the Czech Republic to seek observer status at meetings of the Eurozone.
I think that this idea which has been presented by the Prime Minister is very useful, because right now we are in the situation where we have been preparing for the accession to the Eurozone. That's actually one of the obligations from our treaties. On the other hand, we don't have actually a clear political consensus on the timing or on when we should actually accede. And in these circumstances, when we actually feel this commitment to accede on the one hand, and we do not have a political consensus on the exact timing, this is actually a useful step in the direction towards the Eurozone. Having an observing status, so being part of the debate. So I think this is a very useful idea to be tested now with our partners in the European Union.
Well, what do you say to the criticism that the Czech Republic wants to be part of the debate but not actually take full responsibility and actually be a fully-fledged partner?
Well, I think the accession to the Eurozone is a very important step. So you need to have a clear political consensus on that. So you cannot do it in a hurry so that you find out after 2 or 3 years being there that there is a significant opposition to this. So I think you need to, in this respect, it's probably better to prefer quality to the speed.
Do you not feel that the Czech Republic is coming under pressure due to the implications of Brexit, due to the talk in the EU hardcore of the need for further integration, that it will need to make a decision sometime soon, a hard and fast decision as to whether it wants to be in the fast lane or slow lane of the EU. Is it not at a crossroads, as some people say?
Well, I mean, the next months will show. I mean, we will see what will be the direction or what will be the dynamics after the elections, after the German elections. Obviously, nobody can be happy about Brexit. That's something which goes to the detriment of the European project and even more to the detriment of the UK, I think. That's something which is which brings damage to everyone. For us, Europe is not really something which is a choice. It's a necessity. And that may be a difference between the UK on the one hand and the Czech Republic on the other hand. For us, it's a necessity. And we have to find a way how to actually materialize this necessity. I mean, how to put into practice the fact that we need to be close to the leaders of the European integration. And I mean, the concrete step will depend on what will happen this fall and in the first months of the next year. So right now, it probably doesn't make much sense to speculate about it.
Well, the thing is that if there is further integration within the EU hardcore, shall we say, and there is increasingly a two-tier Europe, then where will that lead the Czech Republic if the Czech Republic sort of stays out of that fast lane?
Well, I'm not sure that we are going to stay out of the fast lane, because there are several projects which symbolize the European future. Some of these projects are centered around the Eurozone. Other of these projects are centered around the common European security. And the position of Czechia on the common European security is actually quite clear. We want to be there from the very beginning. And speaking about the things about the Eurozone, we need to find consensus on this, and we send signals to our partners that we are here to be counted with. And this idea of being observers is part of this strategy.
Can we look at Visegrad now? Because for some time, the Czech Republic has been stressing the advantages of close cooperation within Visegrad in order to have a stronger position in Brussels and to push through its interests better. This alliance has been a bit of a thorn in the side of countries such as Germany and France. And in recent weeks and days, we have seen a slight change, as if the alliance is weakening. Slovakia has said that for the country, being in the fast lane is more important than Visegrad Group cooperation. Hungary and Poland have their own specific internal and foreign policy. Where does that leave the Czech Republic? How important is Visegrad for the Czech Republic now?
Well, I mean, it's actually a very easy question, because how important is Visegrad to ask how important Visegrad is means to ask how important your neighbors are. And of course our neighbors are important. And you do not choose your neighbors. You live with your neighbors and you try to have the best possible relations with them. Visegrad helps to this. So when we reflect on Visegrad cooperation, sometimes it's reduced to the function which is there, but which is, I think, the least important of all the Visegrad functions. And that's the common coordination of the foreign policy. If you look at the past record of the Visegrad, it is not exemplary. It's rarely the case that we really coordinate until the very end. We coordinate at certain stage, and then we are able to put an important issue on the European agenda, and then we usually follow our own ways. That has been the experience of Visegrad all the time. But we should not forget other functions of Visegrad, which are really important. And that's this contribution to the good neighborly relations, mutual trust in Central Europe. It's the activities of the Visegrad Fund, which actually funds all kinds of cultural, scientific research projects of the youth cooperation. These are very important achievements, and I don't believe that anybody would like to jeopardize them. So, of course, there is this dimension of the cooperation, European cooperation, which is there. It's often overestimated. For me, Visegrad was always very important, primarily because of the neighborhood cooperation. The key slogan of our presidency, Visegrad presidency, 2 years ago was "V for trust." The trust that we were able to build trust in Central Europe—that's the biggest achievement. And that's important. And we and the Czech Republic will see to it that we keep this, that we have trust among ourselves.
How is Czech foreign policy viewed abroad?
Probably I don't have enough experience to talk about abroad as such. I'm ambassador to France.
So in France,
I have to say that the Czech image is very positive. It's a positive image of a country which is, on the one hand, in Central Europe, which means being part of new member countries. On the other hand, the country which makes it clear that it's actually committed to the European project, to the European Union. The country which would like to have as good relations with key European actors in France, Germany, and with the EU institutions as possible. So the image with which I'm confronted among the people who are aware of Czechia and of our policy and diplomacy is actually it's rather positive, and we shouldn't forget that it's not just about politics. Cultural image is very important, and Czech Republic is actually very well perceived as a cultural country which is able to produce actually important cultural achievements in literature, in arts, and I have to say that the French audience is very attentive to this, and they appreciate us in this respect.
The Czech Republic often stresses the need for EU reform now, particularly in the wake of Brexit as well. What kind of an EU would the country like to see?
Well, I mean, this is probably a too big question for me, but in general, almost everybody today stresses the need for EU reform. One of the best examples is the French President Macron, who is actually, on the one hand, a very committed European politician, but he is also very, very aware that Europe needs to be reformed. And it's my impression that people like our prime minister, the foreign minister, are very much on the same wave. Committed Europeans, but on the other hand, sometimes rather dissatisfied with the way how Brussels is working. So being sometimes too bureaucratic, sometimes actually making the political decisions which should be actually done by the member states. So it's all kinds of issues which need to be addressed. So asking for the reform is not being against the European Union. It's actually quite on the contrary, for me, a testimony of a European commitment.
France is one of the countries that has criticised the Czech Republic for not meeting its obligations within the EU. I could mention that remark made by President Macron that the Visegrad 4 states see the EU as a supermarket where they just pick what they want and leave the rest. Has that made negotiations on a bilateral level more difficult for you?
Frankly, I'm not sure whether it was Czechia who was targeted, because that was not my impression. So I don't believe that this kind of criticism, which was voiced, was actually against us. In the talks which we have actually in Paris, we don't feel ourselves to be target of that kind of criticism.
Are we a target because we are not taking in more migrants?
You know, I have to say that the French position is very realistic on this. And because Czechia is actually doing quite a lot in this migration crisis, and it's actually rather wrong actually to focus all the debate on the issue how many migrants do you have or do you receive, because Czechia has actually has invested a lot into the efforts in the third countries, and French are actually quite aware of this. So I don't say that that we have a complete agreement on everything on migration. Clearly we don't. But the dialogue with France on this issue is not really painful. It's actually quite a reasonable and mature exchange of information and coordination. And the obsession with quotas is over. You know? And this has actually never come from Paris, this kind of arguments.
This issue of so-called posted workers from low-wage countries, that was one of the points discussed between President Macron and Prime Minister Sobotka recently. President Macron calls it cheap East European labour. Obviously, it's a big problem for France. And it highlights the still big divides across the European Union and the slow convergence process. Well, can this problem be resolved under the present circumstances? You know, what can be done to speed up the convergence process?
Well, I believe it can be resolved, because obviously there are different perspectives here between France and Czechia and other countries. And this come out exactly what you said from the lack of real convergence, of the convergence between the levels of prosperity. But I would not actually exaggerate the difference, because it's quite clear that we do not see actually our future, the future of Czechia, as being a cheap labor country. This is not the future of the country which we imagine. We would like to be a country which competes on other advantages than just cheap labor. So we would like to be a country which competes on exceptional skills, on knowledge, on location, and on other issues. Because if we just concentrate on cheap labor, then we actually lock ourselves out from prosperity. On the other hand, it's quite clear that we have certain comparative advantages which we need to keep in our transition, actually, to the future where we are no longer a cheap labor country. So there are clear differences in emphasis. But I think the recent meetings between Prime Minister Sobotka and the President Macron actually showed that there is actually a great space for dialogue and for compromise. So I believe that we will be actually able to find a common ground, because there are people on both sides who want to find a viable compromise. It's both on the side of France and on the side of the Central European countries. So in this respect, I'm optimistic. You ask about the convergence. Of course, it's how to achieve it. Again, you know, this seems to me quite a big question. It's a question about our model of economic growth. Because in the 1990s, we really started with the cheap labor model, which was probably inevitable at that time. But we now need to make necessary investments into education, and also be more selective about the foreign investments which we prefer here, so that we really build our economy in a way which favors high skills, high value added products rather than cheap labor.
Czech-French relations have traditionally been very good. Where do the Czechs and the French most easily find common ground? Is it music? Is it architecture? Is it visual art? I'm sure that you have events at the embassy. What do the French most appreciate about things Czech?
It seems to me that, yeah, as you started in this area of culture, that's where it is probably the easiest, because there has always been a strong influence of French culture here in Czechia. And also there has been a significant presence of Czech artists, writers in France. In our recent history, we have people like František Kupka, a great Czech painter, who is also someone who is greatly acknowledged and recognized by French audience. For example, next year we will have a great retrospective in one of the most prominent museums of Paris of František Kupka. Then we have writers who are translated or who write in French, like Milan Kundera, someone who is actually appreciated, who is seen as the great Czech writer. He's also seen as the great French writer. So you will find a lot of people who have this sort of Franco-Czech elements and who are like bridges between the two countries. French films, I mean, there are several generations who know French comedies from the 60s, 70s. Louis de Funès is someone who is actually well known in Czechia. So probably he's better known than many of the Czech actors. So these are the things which bring us closer together.
2018 is an important anniversary for the Czech Republic. Are you planning any important or interesting events next year in Paris?
Yes, I think there will be official events. There will be a host of official events which are linked with our common history, because Czechoslovak army was actually founded in France. There are many cemeteries where the bodies of the Czechoslovak soldiers are. So we expect to have ceremonies which will commemorate our common history. But apart from these official ceremonies, we will also organize a lot of cultural activities and scientific events. So we would like to have conferences commemorating 1918 and 1968, and not just commemorating, but also reflecting on what they mean for our future. We also plan to organize musical events, concerts. So yeah, there is a host of activities which we prepare now, and I hope that by the end of the year we will have a list of the events for which we have also found enough funding so that we can actually present them to the public. Right now we have informal lists, and we are actually preparing, we are talking with the people who could participate and people who could also contribute financially to it.
The Czech embassy in Paris is located in a very beautiful spot near the Eiffel Tower. What's it like to live and work in such surroundings? And what do you like most about living and working in Paris?
Well, we are indeed very lucky. It's a privileged location close to Eiffel Tower. So for us, it's a privilege. It was a very wise decision of the foreign minister, Edvard Beneš, who bought this building for the Czechoslovak state in the 1920s. So, and we benefit from it. For me personally, what I appreciate probably most in Paris is that this is the city which gives you all the day new impulses. There are so many events, I mean political, cultural, economic, so that you always have something to think about, to work on. So it actually doesn't allow you to be lazy or ignorant. It sort of forces you to be active. So, and that's what I like about life in Paris.
Mr. Ambassador, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
And that, of course, was Daniela Lazareva speaking to Petr Drulák, who is the Czech ambassador to Paris. And that's all we have time for in today's program, I'm afraid. But if you have any comments about the show, do please share them with us. You can contact us by email. That's at english@radio.cz. And you'll also find us on Facebook and on Twitter. But that's all for now, folks. From me, Ian Willoughby, thank you very much for listening to Radio Prague. And goodbye. Thank you.